Welcome to the Fantasy Sports Collective podcast. Back, we're going to talk fantasy draft disappointments. Guys, I'm calling out, I think, are going to underperform and disappoint ultimately. And I'm going to cover the NBA fantasy hoops as we're in the final week here, actually the final weekend as this episode drops. Who are the All-NBA fantasy team members? Who are the All-NBA fantasy rookie team members? And then who's the kind of biggest riser? So I'll start the pod off with that and then finish up with the NFL draft. Disappointments that I'm calling out pre-draft. Some of these will change a little bit as we get closer to, as actually post, we know where they land. But for now, this is where we're at. So get this on the flip side.
This is America. Don't get you slipping now. Don't catch you slipping now. Look what I'm whipping now.
Okay. What a beautiful day here. We're getting winding in the middle of April. As I record this, it is April 12th. We got three more days of the NBA season. And that's why we want to kick off this episode, is just talk about who are the best players from a fantasy hoops perspective. And keep in mind, yes, there's not a huge variance between the best actual players and the fantasy performances. If you had Jokic or Giannis or Doncic this year, your team should have been competitive. You may not win it, but you're competitive, as they respectively scored nearly 5% more points per game than any other player. Those three guys in particular are clearly the class of the league. But who are the guys that kind of fall behind that? Who are the players that you'd really want? With that further ado, All-NBA fantasy team. So the number one player this year has been Luka Doncic. He's played a ton of games as well. Initially, I think he's going to set his, maybe not as number one, but he's played more games than he had in previous years. He's played a few less games than Nikola Jokic. So overall in fantasy points, Jokic has actually got him. Both those guys are on the first team. So Luka is averaging 54 points per game in this scoring format, which is right up there. And then let's see, Jokic is at 51, which is number two. Again, he scored more total points, so he's been more consistent. He's played more games, which is really critical for fantasy. And then rounding the team out, you've got Shai Gilgeous-Alexander at 46 points per game and Anthony Davis at 46 points per game. And then Giannis, by the way, I mentioned him up at the top. He's at 50 points per game. But if you're going top to bottom, Luka's at 54, Jokic is at 51, Giannis is at 50, and then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, is at 46, and Anthony Davis is 46. Couple caveats. One, Giannis has missed some time this year, and he's obviously out right now in the most crucial week of the season, so that's rough. Anthony Davis is always missing time. So there's a little bit of caveats as they have not played as many games as you would like. I think Luka, Jokic, and SGA, until SGA got hurt recently, they've been really consistent and really powered their teams through awesome seasons. Okay, who are the rookies who have been really good? This list actually surprised me. So first and foremost, Victor Wembanyama, who's clearly a star. He averaged 39 points per game this year in fantasy. He should have been a starter pretty much in any format on any team. And that's as a rookie on a team that wasn't the best. His team makeup wasn't the best for him. He didn't have a true point guard. When he played with Zach Collins, another true center, his numbers were down. They muddied up the court. So I think he's a guy that's going to be pretty impressive. He clearly is going to win Rookie of the Year. And I'm really excited to see where he ends up in year two and then year three. I think he's going to explode. He very likely could be an All-NBA fantasy player and an All-NBA player next year. Next on that list, and a clear kind of number two, at one point people are talking about him as potentially Rookie of the Year potential, is Chet Holmgren for OKC. He's really technically a second-year player. So he played 1 year at Gonzaga, had a little bit of injury, and they shut him down all of his rookie year. So this is his second year in the NBA, second year collecting a paycheck, second year traveling with the team. But officially and technically, he's a rookie this year. So he gets rookie treatment. He's at 30 points per game. That's pretty much a threshold for starting in most formats, unless you've got a really short league. The league I'm in is only eight teams, and he's a starter in that league. But if you were smaller than that, he probably would fall off. Or if you had really small lineups, he'd probably fall off. But he's a guy that looks like he's going to be very good. He's versatile, can shoot, good defensively, collects blocks, rebounds, overall really good. Not Victor Wembanyama level, but I think someone who's going to be a multi-time all-star and a very good player. Next, we got Brandon Miller. He's at 24 points per game, lived up to the hype as the number two player. Some people thought Scoot Henderson should be the number two player. Brandon Miller showed that he is a very good young player. had a really good season on a mediocre, actually mediocre, a very bad Charlotte team. When he played, though, that Charlotte team was about an average team. So that's a really nice building block for them. And I'll be excited to see what he does in his age 20 second season in the NBA. The next two guys were guys that are probably surprising on this list, right? We had just named out the 2 years ago first pick and this year's first pick, and then Brandon Miller's the second pick. But the next is Brandon Podenski. I just call him Pods, the Warriors rookie. He was 19th overall pick. He's averaging 20 points per game. And then the other guy is Derek Lively, who I believe was the 12th overall pick, either 11th or 12th by the Mavericks, and he's averaging 20 points per game. Pods has been more consistent and, quite frankly, has really stepped up as a starter slash one of the first guys off the bench. He contributes in so many different ways. I think he leads the, I know he leads the Warriors in plus minus. I think he's in the top five in plus minus for the season. He's just a good, really good all around player. I don't think he's a star, though, and he's not somebody from a fantasy perspective I'm going to be targeting next year because I don't see him ascending from a scoring, assisting, rebounding perspective. But he's a guy who he very likely probably ends up in the mid-teens in terms of points per game. He could, in the height of his career, 5, 6 years down the road, where he's distributing the ball, he could end up with 7, 8 assists a game. And he's a really good rebounder. So he could average 6 or 7 assists a game. And at that point, he's obviously going to be a solid fantasy player, somebody who probably sneaks into an all-star game or two. But that's probably his ceiling. And then Derek Lively is your classic rim runner type player, can rebound, can block shots, score, but he doesn't have an advanced offensive game. And he, for the next foreseeable future, he's going to be playing with Luka and Kyrie, who are dynamic scorers, so he's not going to get the scoring opportunities, but very good rookie year. And some of the guys we thought would be good, like a Scoot Henderson, just hasn't played that well. I watched him actually last night in a game. He's good. He clearly has athletic ability. He's got potential. I'm not going to give up on him. I think he could have a really good second year, but so far, unclear. And then the Thompson twins are both guys. I think they'll be on the top 10 kind of all rookie team, but more on the second team. They've been solid and they show potential. Who knows where they're going to go? I'd also call out the Warriors have another guy named Trayce Jackson Davis, Dale Davis's son. For those of you who remember, he's really good overall player. In fact, I like him more than Derek Lively in that he has a really good defensive presence. He always knows where to be. He's consistently blocking shots. He's a guy that probably averages 2+ blocks a game next year. I suspect he'll be in the 9, 10 rebounds per game. And he just is really efficient around the basket. So he'll score. He'll be one of these guys that scores like 12, 13 points a game, 9 to 10 rebounds, and 2 to 3 blocks at the height. So he's not a star, but a really good selection for the Warriors in the kind of second half of the second round. I think he was pick number 57 last year. And he'll be on the all rookie team, probably the second team. But anyhow, really good season. Who's the biggest riser? This probably isn't a shock, but I've got Tyrese Maxey. They dealt James Harden early in the season. And Maxey's really been the beneficiary. He's the guy they go to, really stepped up his scoring in general. He's at 38 points per game this season, which is off the threshold for kind of superstar carry your team, but certainly someone you start every single game. And he's elevated plenty of fantasy teams. In my league, he's on one of the teams in the finals, which makes sense. So, anyhow. That's that for fantasy hoops. I talked last week about the teams. This final couple of days of the season is really exciting. Games tonight or today, as I said, Friday the 12th, and a ton of games on Sunday. Lots of people in the mix. Okay, let me go flip the script and go to NFL Draft Fantasy Disappointments. So these are guys who, in my humble opinion, will be overdrafted. And I reserve judgment on scheme and team fit. But what I've seen, I'm underwhelmed and I will be avoiding these guys. So, again, some of these guys may fall into different situations and that's great, but we'll see. I'll start off with quarterback. And these are probably going to be more of the more controversial ones on this list, to be totally frank. I don't have any tight ends. I'll call that out now. But I've got a couple guys, a receiver, running back, and two quarterbacks. And first quarterback is Drake May. Let me just call out, I was out on Josh Allen too. So take this with a grain of salt. I just see a little Mitchell Trubisky, Kyle Bowler, Josh Allen type with ideal arm strength, size, and scout just projections. They're projecting this. And if he becomes Josh Allen, then he justifies being a top three pick, clearly. But I see a lot of downside and a very low floor. And I think he's a player who 100% needs to sit a majority of his rookie year, ideally the first 7, 8, 9 games. Ease him in, let him start a half dozen games of the second half of the season. and get them geared up to be a full-time starter in the 2025 season. What people did with John Elway, Dan Marino, Patrick Mahomes more recently. He didn't play a single game his rookie year until the final game of the season. He had a start, and then the next year he came out and was an MVP. I think that's an ideal scenario for Drake May. He needs to work on his footwork. He needs to assimilate to the speed of the game. He has all the physical talent, but I think if he goes to a team, let's just call it New England or Washington, and they expect him to start right out of the gate, I'm worried about his ability to grow. He may end up getting gun shy, getting hit too much, and turn more into a Sam Darnold type of player where, again, maybe Sam Darnold explodes this year. I'm not counting on it. Or Zach Wilson, a player where he gets by on physical talent, but never really matures and develops the consistency that's necessary to play winning football. And I see that with Drake May right now. Next guy I have is Jay McCarthy. So the floor of McCarthy is much higher than May, or even maybe at Bo Nix or Penix, and possibly Jaden Daniels. I just don't see a high ceiling. That's the challenge. He's really a game manager who, in my opinion, is being projected beyond his talent and past production would dictate. So if he lands in Minnesota, which is where he's being called out, that's a great spot for him. Really good offensive coordinator, head coach with a great offensive mind, and elite receiving options, right? Like one of the better tight end in the league, arguably the best wide receiver in the league and likely a Hall of Fame kind of level talent, assuming he can continue to produce for another 10 plus years in Justin Jefferson. And then a really solid complimentary receiver in last year's first round pick for Minnesota and Jordan Addison. You're talking about a really great situation. And quite frankly, I think he stabilizes all their values. But is he a guy that becomes like a better Kirk Cousins and ascends? I don't know. I just don't see that. So I think he's a solid player who ends up starting a bunch of games over multiple seasons. And someone that you're not automatically going to lose the game by having him out there. But I don't see top 10 pick quality here. He reminds me more of a guy that should go in the second and third round, sit for a year, and maybe he becomes a Jalen Hurts, that type of ilk of player, maybe a Kirk Cousins. But I worry about being fifth overall and the expectations with that. If he lands in Minnesota, though, all bets are off. That's a great landing spot for any of these rookie quarterbacks. You walk into a really good situation in terms of receiving talent, system, scheme, coaching, and whatnot. So, quarterbacks, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, running backs. I don't have as much conviction here. And quite frankly, none of these guys are going to be drafted high enough where it really, quite frankly, matters much. But first guy I've got here is Bucky Irving. Look, this will be heavily scheme and fit dependent, but Irving is a Jag, just another guy. He certainly can be productive fantasy performer, but he's more of just a replacement level player in the NFL. And it really would take a situation like Dallas or a place like that where there's a lot of opportunity and not much talent around him for him to be truly fantasy relevant. And I think he might get drafted. And if he gets drafted in the fourth or fifth round, then throw this out because he won't be a fantasy disappointment because there won't be a lot of expectations. But I do think there's a lot of people out there that think of him as a very dynamic player coming from that Oregon offense, put up great numbers. He could get drafted in the third round, and people start projecting him to be like the next guy, and he'll move whoever else is in front of him out of the way. And I just don't see that. I don't see it in tape. I obviously didn't see it on the athletic measurables from the combine, whatnot. So next is Braylon. Look, this guy performed exceptionally well as a 17-year-old true freshman at Wisconsin. But when you actually watch him, he looking at his athletic measurables, nothing was super impressive. And I don't think he's going to get drafted that high. So again, my expectations aren't high and his reputation stronger than maybe his actual ability, which is my core point. But he's not somebody I'm going to be targeting in drafts this year simply because I just don't believe he is special in a way that a lot of people do think he is. I think he's got a pretty big name and he's somebody that, you know, in this draft class, probably in the top four or five running backs selected, and he'll go to a place where people are expecting him to play a lot. I don't see that happening. Lastly, wide receivers. This is an incredible wide receiver class, and I've belabored that point over many episodes now, and it will continue as we get through the draft. I think there's 10 plus receivers in this draft who have potential to be wide receiver ones and certainly can have wide receiver one fantasy seasons at some point in their career, and maybe several of guys who are going to be Hall of Fame quality talents. So this is the year from an NFL perspective, if you're drafting and you're like, hey, I need a receiver or I need a running back, I can go one direction. I would very much, particularly at the top of the draft, I think those teams are going to be going wide receiver. So a lot of guys I like, but two that I think I'm a little bit out on based on where I'm hearing them get drafted are Ladd McConkey and Roman Wilson. And here's why. I'm seeing Ladd McConkey in the first round, and I just don't see it. I see he's potentially a very good slot receiver. If he lands in the new if he landed in the New England Patriots 2018 offense, then he'd be a great fit. But otherwise, this guy's a slot guy whose ceiling is a wide receiver three in year three. Is that worth the top rookie pick? Not in my book. And I would skip that. Roman Wilson, similar, he was never a high draft, never a high recruit. He's a guy who got elevated by an offense that forced teams to stack 8, 9 in the box, and when potentially had a very good quarterback in Jim McCarthy. And you look at his stats, they weren't great. He's being mentioned as like a high second round selection. And I just don't see in real NFL guys like Wilson and McCarthy are the critical cogs in successful offenses. They move the sticks on third down, they make key plays. But neither of these guys are special to buck traditional slot production. In modern offenses, they'll be competing as the third or fourth options in offenses. That's just not going to be worth a valuable rookie pick. Could be wrong with both these guys, but you just look at them. They're both 5'9"-ish, not tiny, not like Xavier Worthy body type, but they also lack the Xavier Worthy speed, height, leaping ability, and acceleration to make big plays. I think they're both guys that are going to be solid NFL players. They're going to be on fantasy rosters. I think their floors are very high. So I'm not saying they're going to be a disappointment. I think they're going to be a disappointment, though, in that they're never going to end up being a top player. And in the case of McConkey, he may be a top 12, 13 rookie pick in a draft that has a ton of talent. Keep in mind, we're looking at potentially six quarterbacks going in the first 15 picks. Certainly six quarterbacks in the first 35, 36, 37 picks, which is outstanding. But six in the first 25 or 30 will be an all-time record. And then we're talking about 6 to 8 wide receivers in the first round, including a bunch in the first 15 picks. And then guys that are going to go in the second half of the first round, who in many drafts would have been top 10 picks, guys like Brian Thomas, Adonijah Mitchell, people of that ilk are very talented players, and they're going to end up falling to the second half of the first round. I'd much rather have a bunch of those guys than a Ladd McConkey. Even if Ladd McConkey ends up in KC at the last pick in the first round, I still think he's going to be someone who may be disappointing. That said, that's a great fit for him, and I'm sure I will change my tune. So, on that note, have an awesome day. Hope you enjoy the podcast. If you enjoy it, please leave a review. We thrive off of feedback. And on that note, have a great week and take care. Bye-bye.
Before we leave, let me tell y'all a little something. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up. Uptown funk you up.